from ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night. Good Lord, deliver us. It's from an old Scottish liturgy, these words. Well, it says, I mentioned All Hallows' Eve. It's the eve before All Saints' Day. And All Saints' Day is that day of reminder when we talk about eternal life, talk about death, but also eternal life, that we all have eternal life, that there's no hell, there's only eternal life with God. And All Hallows' Eve is that reminder to us that even evil spooks and death have no ultimate power, and that demons and devils and evil spirits are not real, and that they're nothing to be feared because they exist only in our imagination and because Christ Jesus is sovereign and Lord of all. Although certainly death is real, we know that. We've seen people die. We know that we are all on the path to dying, but we die only in body. Only our bodies die. That which makes us who we are continues in eternal life. And so that is really what we're celebrating on All Hallows' Eve and All Saints' Day. And All Saints' Day is what we'll be doing next Sunday when we remember those who have died in this church in the last year. But this the tradition, this kind of All Saints' Day tradition goes way, way back to the early church. The All Hallows' Eve goes back to England, back to ancient England. Some of this even goes back before Christianity showed up in the 600s in England. The Celts, the people that had the Druids that lived in England, had this feast that they called Samhain on October 31st. And that was at the end of the harvest time, to mark the end of the harvest and to mark the beginning of winter. Livestock were butchered, foods were preserved for the winter, very much as we still do today. This has kind of, you know, been the canning season, time to get the root vegetables in the root cellar and get prepared for the winter. Those of us that live in the northern parts of the northern hemisphere that have these long winters in which nothing can grow. And it was also a time of year associated with death, which is quite natural. If you look outside at the trees and what's going on, it looks like death. This is the time for that. And the Celts believe that on this night of Samhain, that the door to the other world, the door to where the world of the dead spirits exist, they believe that on this night, that door opened up, and the spirits were free to move back and forth. The spirits of the dead could come out, and so they built bonfires to ward off the darkness, and people also set out food in their homes to invite in the souls of their ancestors, the friendly souls, to come in and eat with them, and also wore the costumes to try to ward off the evil spirits so that the evil spirits would look at them and go, oh, that's not a human being. We don't need to take them into the other world. And so it was this mix of warding off evil spirits, but also welcoming the friendly spirits, the friendly dead. And Christianity showed up in England in the 600s, and as Christianity did in most places where it showed up, it took on a lot of the pagan traditions and rituals and Christianized them. And it was a long process. But eventually, All Saints' Day, this remembrance of the dead, came to be associated with Samhain, and so we have All Saints' Day on November 1st, and Samhain then became All Hallows' Eve, meaning hallowed, meaning holy or sacred, or if used for a person, it means saint. So it's All Saints' Eve. It's just the evening before All Saints' Day, like Christmas Eve is the evening before Christmas. And we kept some of the traditions that they had, like dressing up in costumes. And so today, Halloween, we dress up in costumes, thought to make people unrecognizable, as I mentioned. And then there was also this very fun part that we continue, that the children enjoy, the trick-or-treating part goes way, way back in antiquity. Although that was kind of lost for a long time, and it was really in the United States around the early 1900s. That trick-or-treating had a little rejuvenation, but way back, this trick-or-treating thing was called souling, S-O-U-L-I-N-G. ing, souling, the costumes to ward off the bad spirits, but souling was a way to attract the good ones. And what better way to attract than with food? And so the children would go to homes. People would make what are called soul cakes, which is a kind of shortbread with currants or other fruit. And the children would go out and beg for them, as they do in trick-or-treating, now begging for candy. They would beg for soul cakes. And I invite the children to come up. We have some soul cakes for you, little round ones that have a cross in them with currants. Feel free to enjoy them, children. Please pass those out to everyone. I think we should have enough for everyone here. And then they would sing this song that Lynn is going to sing for us. This is the A Souling Song.
Soul, soul, soul cake, please, good mama, a soul cake, an apple, a plum, a peach, or a cherry, any good thing to make us merry. One for Peter, two for Paul, three for him who made us all.
And so we continue this tradition of Halloween, but have turned it into this reminder that death is not our final destiny. And we also do it because it is important, I think, to remind children and adults that we need to learn that death is simply a part of life, nothing to be terrified of or to fear necessarily, not anything to rush headlong into either, but nothing that we need to fear or be afraid of. We are all going to be there someday, and the goal for Christians is to come in out of the darkness into the light where God warms us and feeds us forever. And this is the eve of All Saints Day. Ideally, we would do this Wednesday night and have All Saints Day on Thursday, which is where they fall this week. But we're good at imagination, and it doesn't matter so much what day we do these. So we're doing this here this morning. But the good news is, the good news of Halloween, the good news of this season is that we can dress up. And we can play in the world of the dark and the scary. And by doing so, we dispel their power over us by taking on the mantles, perhaps, of that which is spooky or terrifies us. We reduce its power over us. And we can do that because Jesus has really already dispelled all of that for us. We have no reason to fear. Jesus has dispelled their power. We can be defiant against the horrifyingly unreal, the powerful other, or whatever evil we might fear, whether it be great evil of, you know, say, spooks and monsters, or even just the evil of the day, hunger and poverty, laws that oppress, bigotry, racism, whatever some of the other things are that we might get anxious about or fear, we don't really have to fear any of that. We can be defiant against it. We have the power to fight against it. And we can also can be comforted that demons and devils and magic and occultic power and witches and the undead, they're all fun to play around with, but they're not real. They're part of our imagination, and they're made up in our minds. And nothing can destroy our souls. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate us from God. And so this is a night to remember that death has lost its sting, and at the end of the party and at the end of the celebrations, we can safely remove our masks, confident that evil cannot withstand the dawning light of Jesus's gospel love. And so have a fun Halloween, and have a very hallowed, holy, sacred Halloween as well. Amen.